Chapter 77 Blackshear. A very different army from the one that had left Echo Hold, descended from the Alpine Ridge to meet up with the county road that ran along the Black River at the southern edge of Rugrath. While they had lost nearly half their number to the marauding Uyumark, their thoughts now turned to home and family. The untamed wilds behind, they rejoiced to see the beginnings of the touch of human hands on the landscape. Squat stone farmhouses popped into view, set against green fields with corn and wheat nearly waist-high. The lane widened and improved as orchard-draped hills and mighty oaks lined the way. In the brilliant morning sunshine, the Shalane could almost believe that Eldaloth had returned, their danger having dissipated into the tree-choked mountains behind them. She glanced around, finding Jen nearer to her than he usually walked, speaking with Maywen in Elvish. The army no longer needed a guide to show them the way. Lord Kildan, General Harband, and Ethris were at the vanguard as they walked toward Blackshear, the estate her mother had promised to Jen and that Shatan had given to Jeff and Fenner. Perhaps now Jen would understand the love that her mother had for him, for the Shalane couldn't imagine a more beautiful, tranquil place to bestow upon a person. Everywhere the eye turned, something caught its interest, from the dark, flowing river to the mountains rising on the east and south, to the rolling green hills and the pleasant breeze that rippled waves in the fields of grain. She knew Jen. She knew he would have loved this gorgeous country place. She loved it too, and just like the men around her, she began that vain wishing that the war was indeed over. All she wanted was to drag Jen to the nearest pure man and find a little home tucked away off down a distant lane, and just live for him forever. She peeked over her shoulder again, but found that he and Maywen had turned, walking toward the rear of the column. For a moment she feared that they would leave and strike out into the wilderness, but instead they stopped to speak with Cadean, whose angry, sober face stood out in contrast to the rest of the smiling marchers. While the Shalane had spoken to Mirel's protector before to offer him comfort, she realized his thoughts had now turned to leaving the army behind and going to find her mother. The Shalane surprised Dacen by turning on her heel and walking back to join them. As she had come to expect, Jen yanked his hat down and leaned on his quarterstaff as she approached. She vowed to rip the hat off his head and burn it at the first opportunity.
"I cannot delay," Cadean was saying. "Every minute I wait, she is in greater danger."
"You cannot leave me today," the Shalane said. "I want my mother freed more than anything, but you must see me safely to Blackshear. Let us see what news has come. You must at least rest and reprovision tonight."
As the Shalane said these words, she knew she would have to let Jen go again. Cadean could not confront Aethon and the Council of Padres alone, and Jen alone held the power to extract Mirel from whatever prison she languished in. The Shalane would suffer on with Dacen and bid the one she loved farewell.
"But Shalane, I—" Cadean protested.
"No more, Cadean," she said, her voice breaking with emotion. "If you leave now and go alone, you will fail. You need rest, and you need help. Stay with me one more day, just one more, and you can go."
The Shalane glanced at Jen before turning away, finding his eyes sad and affectionate. It was hard not to turn and run to him, but she steeled herself and continued forward with the rest of the column. He walked close behind her now, just behind Dacen, watchful and caring as always. As they crested the hill, the city of Blackshear sprung into view. The small castle at its centre sat pleasantly atop a tree-covered hill, the town encircling it on all sides. A low wall, meant to fend off wild animals rather than warriors, surrounded the older part of the city, though many buildings had recently risen up around the outside. Most structures had a mortared stone foundation, with plastered wood slats at the top. Long, thin trees shot up all through the town, bending in the air with the motions of a breeze that was hazy with wood smoke. They stopped to regard it, the city warden and a handful of men riding toward their position, no doubt alarmed at the large armed force closing on their homes. The Shalane found Jen regarding the scene serenely, a slight smile on his lips, and she wondered what memories the scene invoked for him. Good ones by the look in his eyes.
For her, it was all about the memories she wanted to make and the ones she wanted to forget. Her duties to others seemed over. Now she could serve her own purposes without the burden of guilt. Blackshire was the symbol of that new life. Mickmere and its underground chambers might be safe, but the memory of that place felt like a prison. Here she was free to ride and roam and love as never before. The warden, a tall, thin man with sun-darkened skin, approached warily. Lord Kildan and Aethrys greeted him warmly to allay his fears. They had worked out the story in council the day before. The Shillane listened as Lord Kildan explained that they had escaped a large army of Uyumark, and that the Shillane had come to Blackshire to hide from Mikkik's forces, who sought revenge.
"We just received word 2 days ago that Eldaloth had returned, and the Ilk struck a blow," the warden explained, "but that the Shillane had been found and returned safely to Echo Hold. Lord Jeff of Blackshire ordered a week-long celebration. It is just underway this day. While I must consult with him, I can assure you we have nowhere to quarter such a large band of men."
"We can encamp in any place that is convenient," Aethrys said. "We are weary, however, and in need of some provisions before we press on to Mickmere.
I will ask the Lord how to proceed."
They waited for nearly an hour, resting on the side of the road, trying to ignore the smell of roasted meats that the breeze carried to their noses. At last, a procession of men wearing the device of the Black Tree rode forward, and the Shillane could spot Jeff and Fenner riding at their head, smiles wide. A host of memories of her handmaiden flooded back to her, and the Shillane had to grin at the thought of all their long conversations about men and love. Jeff still wore his green hat, but his clothes looked a little tight and his face a little full. The elevation to nobility had treated him well. Fenner rode side-saddle and her pregnant belly looked ready to pop, an uncomfortable but happy expression on her sweating face. From the corner of her eye, the Shillane saw Jen casually walk away. The couple dismounted, Jeff taking Fenner's hand and leading her forward in a regal style. The Shillane stepped forward and her handmaiden embraced her warmly, barely interfering and reminding the Shillane of her own pregnancy.
"It is dreadfully hot today," Fenner complained. "Lord Blackshire and I insist that you, the Dark Guard and your officers, come stay with us in the manor for as long as you need. Aethrys and Maywin too. We have such a celebration planned for tonight. You have come just in time. But let's get out of this cruel heat. We have heard so many stories. You must tell me everything."
The trip into Blackshire proper only served to further endear the Shillane to the place. Rustic and quaint, its rough cobble streets teeming with people seemed the happiest place in the world, though the lively festival all around her aided that perception. The girls twirled in brightly coloured dresses meant to impress the young men, who had cleaned their boots and shirts to return the gesture. Performers and acrobats, food and song, all of it beckoned to the Shillane who had tired of war and strife. If only her mother weren't imprisoned miles away, and if only Mikkik weren't making fools of them all. One of the entourage had offered his horse to her, and she accepted it gladly. Jen brought up the rear, flicking coins to the children as he passed, gathering a cloud of youth until he feigned that he had no more to give. The smile on his face brought the Shillane's heart to her throat. His hat was back, and his face plain in the afternoon sunshine. Something about him was different, something she couldn't attribute to just his lack of scars or his beard. She couldn't place her finger on what it was, though his countenance was certainly more inviting and handsome than it had been when scars marred it into a testament of cruelty. They crossed up the switchbacks to the castle proper, passing through the thick outer walls that, compared to the impregnable fortress of Mickmere and Echo Hold, seemed paltry. But Blackshire had never seen anything of war, having been built and settled after the eclipsing of Triss and the end of the Second Mikkikian War. The interior of the courtyard was beautiful, decorative trees and bushes lining the modestly sized manor house and the keep, and the chapel behind it. Summer flowers bloomed in colourful planters along the windows, and a mighty oak hung protectively over one side of the edifice.
"We must get you properly attired," Fenner said as they dismounted. "You're all a tatters. You will, of course, have a room all to yourself. We may have to double the others. I'll let Wilkes take care of it. Who is that bearded fellow that walks with Maywin?
That is Amos, a woodsman and fighter. He's a friend of Maywin's that helped us in our last struggles.
After a brief tour of the cheery manor, Fenner led her upstairs, Dayson following behind. They left the handsome Tolnorian prince outside the doors and entered, just like old times. In moments, Fenner had dismissed her own handmaiden and removed the Shalane's crude veil.
There you are, just as pretty as ever, Fenner said. We'll get a warm bath for everyone, you first, of course. So can you imagine such a strange ending to the prophecy? Who would have thought that Jen was the ilk the whole time? I never really favoured him much. There was always something not quite right about him. And those abominable scars, what a fright he was. You must have been shocked. And he tried to kill you, just as you were about to be taken to Erelinda with your husband. How awful. He died then?
Yes. He was killed by the Uyumak.
What? How strange. Why would they kill him?
The Shalane shook her head, realizing how torturous her encounter with Fenner would be.
There are many mysteries yet to solve, Fenner. I don't believe Jen intended to harm me at all.
Well, we're all glad you're rid of him, Fenner said firmly. And do you think you will have Eldaloth send you to your husband in Erelinda, or will you, turn your affections elsewhere for a while? I couldn't help but notice that a certain eligible young man still follows you around.
Inwardly, the Shalane groaned. I will stay upon Key Hall. I must work to free my mother. I have no other object in view now.
Except Jen. Your mother? What happened?
The Shalane invented a story of how Aethon arrested her for treason for harbouring and favouring Jen, a story the Shalane fully expected to have come true. Fenner gasped.
How awful! But Aethon will set her free. Jen deceived all of us, the scoundrel.
Fenner, the Shalane said, trying to sound friendly, I am dreadfully tired. Would you mind if I bathed now and slept for a while? It was a long march through rough country, and if I am to enjoy this excellent celebration, it would be nice to be fresh.
But of course, Fenner agreed, giving the Shalane's hair another stroke with the brush. But there is so much news and gossip to tell you. I have been so happy. Shatan was a bit rough, but I thank him for having the wisdom to pair me with Jeff. He must have seen what kindred spirits we were after all.
With a little more prodding from the Shalane, Fenner finally saw to the servants bringing in a large basin and warm water. After assuring the Lady of Blackshire that she needed no help bathing, she stripped her frayed and torn clothing away and soaked, the warmth lulling her eyes closed. When she did dream, Jen appeared in every scene, some of them as scandalous as the ones she had envisioned in her long days in Ironkeep. When she woke, the longing reflected in those dreams sparked a glow in her heart rather than the crushing guilt they had inspired before. Fenner returned before dinner and brought her a gorgeous plum-coloured dress trimmed in gold.
It will be a bit tight on you, Fenner warned, though you've thinned a bit from your wandering about the woods, I see. Anyway, I've had my maid stitch together a veil for you. It's not as fancy as those you once wore, but certainly better than the awful thing you were wearing when you arrived. You know, my maid is just a little tiresome. All she wants to talk about is this boy and that, and how she can't do without them. Just one of the trials of nobility. I suppose it's my duty to sober her up.
After buttoning the dress and declaring her ravishing, Fenner left with a tease to Dayson about how wonderful the Shalane looked. The Shalane admired herself in the mirror. The dusty, exhausted refugee was gone, and before her was a beautiful woman with long blonde hair, piercing blue eyes, and a dress to rival those her mother had worn in her attempts to drive Jen mad with passion. She smiled and hoped that Amos the woodsman was not above flirting with widows. Affixing her veil, she opened the door and found an appreciative Dayson who, despite all his propriety, couldn't help but glance over her, even if quickly.
"Tonight will be a night to remember, Shalane," he said with a twinkle in his eye.
She took his proffered arm, sick at the expectation in Dayson's handsome, smiling face. He had found an opportunity to bathe as well, his uniform stitched and laundered back to something more presentable.
He led her to the dining room, and everyone stood as she entered. Lord Kildan, the Dark Guard, and Ethrys were there, but the Shalane was disappointed to find Jen missing. Maewyn sitting alone at a side table. Fenner and two other lords and ladies she didn't recognize were present as well. Jeff thrust his glass into the air.
To the Shalane, who has courageously led us to this new era of peace and prosperity under the rule of Eldaloth.
The agreement to keep their knowledge of Mikkik's fraud a secret kept the ebullience of the toast to a minimum, the Shalane feeling sick at the deception. They drank anyway, but before the Shalane sat, she called for attention.
I thank you, Lord Blackshear, for your kind words, though I hardly feel I deserve them. But it is at this time that I wish to invoke a long-standing custom of the Shalanes. At the birth of their first child, every Shalane has relinquished the title and taken upon her a new name for the remainder of her life. The name I have chosen comes from the ancient language. My name is Alumira Rey Seelenwe, or Alumira for short.
Maewyn perked up.
Do you know what it means?
The Shalane remembered her conversation with Jen outside of her chamber so long ago. He had given her the name just after the demon attack when she had treated him crossly.
I think it means someone who picks fights.
The assemblage laughed, excepting Maewyn, who shook her head.
No, that's not what it means at all.
Then tell us, Dayson prompted. It certainly sounds as lovely as she is.
The name means my way out of darkness.
The Shalane exhaled and gripped the table, trying to keep the tears out of her eyes. The name was Jen's tribute to her, his gratitude for saving him from Mikkik's poison. She remembered when she had told him never to call her that name again. There could be no more waiting.
I must find him tonight, she thought. He must know my heart.
Where did you get the name? Dayson prompted. The Shalane stifled the blooming of love in her heart, wanting to savour the private emotion away from the expectant faces. She swallowed hard, but her voice quavered as she said,
A dear friend.
Maewyn nodded, the barest grin on her lips. The rest pressed her to be more forthcoming, but she refused, returning to her seat, mind drifting inward. Dinner was served. The conversation and blather in the room, whether meaningful or pointless, passed over and around her. Dayson kept snaking his hand under the table to try to grasp hers, but she would snatch it away. He would grin, thinking she was playing coy. She fought the urge to stab him with a fork. Thankfully, dinner ended, and they entered a modest assembly hall, where they were joined by other members of Blackshear Society and officers from the regiment stationed there. The people crowded suffocatingly around her, congratulating and thanking her for her grand part in the prophecy. They asked her when she would join her husband in Erelinda, and every time they did, Dayson would wink meaningfully at her. Once the dancing began, she reclaimed a little breathing room, save from her protector, who stood uncomfortably close, rubbing against her arm or shoulder whenever he could get the chance. The Shalane thought Jen might have decided to absent himself from the party entirely, but after a lively dance with Dayson, she noticed him standing near a doorway with Maewyn watching. Like a bowshot, she threaded her way to the door, Jen disappearing before she arrived. Dayson, surprised by the sudden movement, was slow to catch up.
Is Amos not to join us? The Shalane asked.
Maewyn smiled that peculiar smile again.
He said he is in need of some fresh air, and went to one of the upstairs balconies. In truth, he may just need to rest. I have discovered that our young friend has a bad habit of not sleeping.
The Shalane grinned.
I've heard that about him. I promised I would watch you for him, Maewyn continued, but it looks like a certain pair of eyes can hardly bear to be off you as it is.
Milady, Dayson exclaimed as he arrived, you departed most hastily.
I'm sorry, Dayson, she said. Please feel free to dance with other ladies. I want to speak with Maewyn for a bit.
How could any other woman satisfy me? He said, taking her hand and kissing it. She gritted her teeth.
I refuse to spend the evening with a man I wouldn't marry in a millennium, or the man I would marry in a moment is upstairs.
The Shalane bit her lip, her mind trying to grind out some way to be rid of her constant companion. Then the hard, reclusive Maewyn unexpectedly intervened.
Have you ever danced with an elf, Dacen?
Of course not.
Then come, and perhaps you shall learn how to do it properly.
Dacen stammered, as Maywin led him toward the floor. Maywin exciting a bit of comment, not just because of her race, but because she was a woman wearing pants in a room full of fashionable, expensive dresses. Dacen glanced back at the chalet a couple of times, shrugging as Maywin led him away. When he was fully occupied, the chalet dove out of the door and into the entryway where several people loitered. The hunt took a little longer than she liked, and she feared Dacen would come traipsing after her at any moment. But after a frantic search around the second floor, she found Jen. The second-story balcony at the back of the house looked over the chapel garden. Jen sat in a simple wooden chair, leaning it back against the side wall with his feet on the balustrade. His wide-brimmed hat he had yanked down over his face, and without a weapon had crossed his arms over his chest as if he were carrying one anyway. He was fast asleep. The sounds and smells of the celebration and the fragrant garden below filled her with the same feelings of freedom and freshness as they had that morning, and her heart felt freed. She tiptoed to him and removed her veil. For several moments she just stared at him, unsure of how to proceed. His strong hands rose and fell slowly with his chest, and she wondered if he ever dreamed of her as she dreamed of him. She hoped so. She wanted to see his face, to find what felt so different about it, but the obscuring hat covered everything but his bearded chin. That was it. That was where to start. With a grin and the flick of her hand, she yanked his hat off. He startled from sleep. With the speed of an adder, he grabbed her hand before she could retract it and shot to standing, eyes roving over her in confusion. He finally let go. The chalet blushed as his gaze drank her in, eyes lingering just where she hoped they would before finding hers. "Your ladyship," he stammered, "I..." With all the energy of pent-up desire and stifled affection finally let loose, she pressed into him and put her lips on his, kissing him deeply with every ounce of longing she had. It took him a moment to respond, but she didn't let up until his hands found her hips, and then his arms enveloped her, pulling her against him. Only then did she put her head on his shoulder, tears of joy falling like rain in the sunshine. He held her, the chalet relishing his tenderness and his touch. At length she pulled back, kissing him again and grabbing his face in her hands.
"I have missed you so badly. You could never understand. I have so many things to tell you that you must know," she said.
"It appears you already know more than is good for you," Jen replied. "It is dangerous for you to know who I am, chalet."
"I have taken the name Alumira Rey Sir Ellenway now," she said, and kissed him again. "And as of tonight, I know what it really means. I have a heart full of things to say to you. Please listen."
"Let me find another chair," he offered.
"No, you sit down," she said. "I think pacing might help me get through it. But—"
And she pulled his head in for another long pull at his lips.
"You have no idea how long I've waited to do that."
She shoved him down in the chair and stood in front of him.
"Where to begin?"
He stared up at her patiently, and she rejoiced to see the tender affection there that she always hoped he felt for her.
"Oh, Jen, how can I explain all this?"
Footsteps squeaking the boards inside the house startled her, and she cast about for the veil she had discarded.
"Your ladyship?"
"Dacen."
She dared not turn around without her veil. Jen said a strange word, and Dacen collapsed, face impacting painfully with the balustrade on the way down.
"You have no idea how long I've wanted to do that," Jen said, and the chalet laughed. "But I find that it is a bit crowded here all of a sudden. Collect your veil, and we'll find somewhere with fewer unconscious people to bother us."
While he dragged Dacen over to the chair and propped him up in it, she picked her veil off the floor. Once he finished arranging Dacen, Jen took her hand.
"Hold on."
He incanted again, and she suddenly felt as light as air. With ease they drifted over the balustrade and down into the garden, where their weight returned.
"You've learnt a few more tricks," she said, appreciatively.
"I use them to impress the ladies," he joked.
"Come, the chapel looks abandoned."
She took his hand and wrapped it around her waist as they walked through the garden and up the short stone stairs. The large wooden door swung open ponderously and they slipped inside, the building completely dark. Using his magic, Jen created a globe of light to guide them through the row of benches until they took a seat in the middle. Jen sat and she sat on him, wrapping her arms around his neck. He let the light fade and drew her in, and they kissed, relishing one another's closeness.
"I believe you wanted to tell me something," Jen said. "But if you want to do this a while longer, I won't complain."
The Shalane snuggled into him as deeply as she could and told him everything. Her lies about not loving him, the guilt she felt for loving him, and her utter despair at seeing him killed at Butcher's Gap. She told him of her months of wedded loneliness serving Shaitan in his infirmity. She told him of the passion that had seared her soul with so much guilt before, a passion that now filled that same space with hope and joy. She told him how his touch had healed her that night on the ridge.
"I would ask if you still loved me, too, but I know," she said. "It's the only thing I know anymore."
"You are easy to love," he said. "I just never imagined I could have you."
"You have me, Jen," she assured him. "You've had me for longer than you know. Every part. And I will not have another."
"Dyson's not going to be pleased," Jen said.
"Hang Dyson. You have no idea what mortification I've been through with that man since I was healed on the ridge. How I ever became infatuated with him, I will never know."
Jen chuckled.
"It's not even 2 years since we first met, and I feel like we were all silly children back then. I've felt so weighed down for so long. The kisses helped, so thank you."
She administered another dose to ensure he remained light of heart.
"You never seemed like a child to me, Jen. You were so severe and so intimidating when I first knew you. It took Fenner to soften you up a bit."
"No, Alamira. It was finding a purpose, finding you.
And I'm glad you did. Fenner's lucky Shaitan forced her to wed Jeff. My mother probably would have assassinated her before she let you two get within 100 yards of a church."
Jen reached out and stroked her hair, and she closed her eyes to enjoy the soothing sensation.
"Have you learned any way to stop the passing of time?" she said after a long while.
"I'm afraid not, or I would do it."
She exhaled and shifted off his lap, taking his hand and sitting next to him.
"Is something wrong?" he asked.
"Jen, I would never leave your side, but I'm afraid I must ask you to leave mine one more time."
"Mirel?"
"I cannot leave her in Aethon's hands. I'm terrified at what he will do when he discovers our ruse. In his eyes, she knowingly aided the Ilk and almost caused the second death of Eldaloth. When he knows he's been tricked, I fear he will be brutal. Cadean wants to be gone already. Will you go with him for me?"
"I will," said Jen. "But please stay close to Ethrys. The Dark Guard will do little good against the kind of magic that Aethon and the Council of Padras wield."
"Do whatever it takes, Jen," she ordered,
face sober, squeezing his hand to drive home the point.
"You know I will."
"If they have hurt her, let your wrath be poured out enough for the both of us."
"If they have hurt her, there will not be enough room for any wrath but my own."
A chill ran down her spine at the edge in his voice, and she pitied Aethon if he had behaved in the way her imagination thought he might. She leaned against Jen's shoulder and they sat in silence for some time. How long would it take before someone realized that she was missing? Hours, if she were lucky.
"Now that my eyes have adjusted to the dark," Jen said, "I can see that you are an exceptionally beautiful woman."
She laughed quietly.
"Thank you for noticing. As for you, to be honest, I think I miss those scars of yours, and I'm not sure about this beard."
She gave it a tug.
"And that ridiculous hat should be burned."
"I don't know what to do about my identity. The world thinks me a villain, and although I look different, it isn't different enough to fool anyone for long. Then there's Maywin, who wants me to rise up as a leader. All I want to do is keep you safe, but Mikik must be dealt with. I just don't know how.
What will you do when you get to Mikmir?" "I think the truth has to start with me," she said. "Once I am safe within the castle there, I can publish my version of the events, and at least help people start to doubt. What Mikik intends to do with his usurped position, I cannot guess. What is his purpose?"
Jen thought for a moment.
He has always sought the eradication of all good creatures on Kihal, but if he starts ordering people killed, then he would lose his control. He leaned back and ran his fingers through his long hair. If he is patient, it may take time for him to reveal his scheme. We have to think and plan carefully.
My mother would be better at that, the Shalane said, feeling anxiety reasserting itself. Can we go back to the kissing? I think I like that better, though just because I'm so willing to be affectionate, don't think that you can just take advantage of me.
I wouldn't dream of taking advantage of you.
Really? I've dreamed about it several times. You're quite a rake in my dreams. Now, don't be offended. Those dreams kept me alive. So let's see if I can't provide a little spark to inflame your imaginings a little.
She retook her perch on his lap, pressed into him again, her passion now guiltless and rewarding as she shared her lips and her warmth until a polite ahem from the rear of the chapel startled them both.
Maywin, Jen said, turning in surprise.
Excuse my interruption, she said, but the Shalane must return to the house soon. She is missed.
Just tell them I've retired to my room.
I don't think that will do, Maywin replied. Fenner's already checked your chambers. They may have found Dayson by now. Did you hit him in the face?
The balustrade did, Jen replied. They ought to fix that thing. Knocked him unconscious.
Maywin smirked.
We leave for Mickmere in the morning.
Will you be coming with us, Jen?
No. I go with Cadean to find Mirel.
Good. We need her wisdom.
The whole world is careening to its doom and dancing the entire way.
I'll tell them I found you, Alumira, and that you'll be in shortly. Don't be too long.
She left, the door squeaking as she shut it.
How did I not hear her come in?
Jen wondered aloud.
The Shalane smiled. You were preoccupied. But curse it all, I don't want to leave you now. Everyone else's company is burdensome to me. Promise me you won't leave tomorrow without seeing me.
I promise, and I won't leave this chapel until we have a dance together. I must atone for abandoning your birthday party.
Yes, you must.
He stood and extended his hand, pulling her out into the aisle. There they danced to a rhythm only they could hear, until caution bade them stop. They embraced one last time and kissed, the Shalane reluctantly retrieving her veil and fastening it to her head.
I love you, Shalane, Jen said,
hands cradling her face.
Remember that. Remember to love yourself. You are so much better and stronger than you think you are.
Don't talk like that. It makes me think you aren't coming back. Bring my mother back to me, Jen. My love goes with you, and my love waits for your return. Be quick, please.
I will.
And if my mother starts flirting with you again, tell her it's my turn. I'll see you tomorrow, early. Don't forget.
The Shalane left, reluctantly. As she opened the door, she turned to find Jen watching her intently, and she nearly burst into tears. The best night of her life was ending, and she ached, fearing the greater bliss she longed for would never come.